The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Markets across Asia are in the red today, and Singapore's shares suffered the biggest losses. The Straits Times index fell 2.2%, more than 68 points, to finish today at 30.45. What prompted the selling? Well, there's the latest Brexit news, which is not encouraging, but more about that in a moment. First, though, we had Xi Jinping speaking in China today on the 40th anniversary of China's opening up to the world. But his comments were not what investors were hoping for. No new initiatives or reform measures were announced. Pepperstone head of research Chris Weston picks up the story from there.
Well, I think there'd been a glimmer of hope that perhaps we'd heard something from President Xi Jinping's speech today at the 40th anniversary conference. That hasn't been the case. In fact, they've given very little away. And this is coming out of a backdrop where markets were already pretty nervous about global economic growth, low liquidity coming through financial markets, and obviously some of the geopolitical issues that have been playing through there. So certainly no hope, and Asian markets are reacting to the lead, really, that they got from Wall Street, which is just complete risk aversion.
So what were investors hoping to hear from Xi Jinping?
Well, I think there may still be a chance for the information to come through the rest of the week. I mean, this is just the remarks at the start of the conference. But I think ultimately we need to hear about potential further olive branch going out to the US as, you know, potential tweaks they're made in 2025 program to appeal to the US trade representative team. There's declining growth. We saw that on Friday with their terrible retail sales numbers and their terrible industrial production numbers. So what is it in the finer details to push GDP up to what they potentially could be looking for to target 6.5%? At the moment, we think it's going to be close towards 6.1%. What are they going to target with M2 money supply, potentially pushing that up to 8.5% or so? So there's a few finer details there with some of their economic targets that we've been hoping for from various leaders, potentially even from Xi Jinping. And also, was there going to be the necessary tweaks to their Made in 2025 program to appeal to the U.S. trade team?
I've also heard that they're looking for some fiscal stimulus. Reuters had a report that investors are looking for a massive income tax cut of 1.5 trillion renminbi. As you said, we'll hear more this week, but it hasn't happened yet. Chris, over in the U.K., British Prime Minister Theresa May has once again postponed a vote on Brexit. Let's have a listen.
But it is now only just over 14 weeks until the U.K. leaves the EU. And I know many members of this House are concerned that we need to take a decision soon. Am I right? But I can confirm today that we intend to return to the meaningful vote debate in the week commencing 7th of January and hold the vote the following week. Mr. Speaker, when we have the vote, members will need to reflect carefully on what is in the best interests of our country. I know that there are a range of very strongly held personal views on this issue across the House, and I respect all of them. But expressing our personal views is not what we are here to do. We asked the British people to take this decision, and the British people responded by instructing us to leave the European Union. Now we must honour our duty to finish the job.
The British opposition party didn't like what they heard. Jeremy Corbyn has called for a vote of no confidence.
This is unacceptable in any way whatsoever. So, Mr. Speaker, as the only way I can think of ensuring a vote takes place this week, I am about to table a motion which says the following: that this House has no confidence in the Prime Minister due to her failure to allow the House of Commons to have a meaningful vote straight away on the withdrawal agreement and framework for future relationships between the UK and the European Union. And that will be tabled immediately, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Chris, how do you see all this playing out, and what does it mean for the British pound?
But we've got a date now for this vote, which is going to be the week of the 14th. It's not going to pass. I think that's pretty categoric. No one expects it to pass. But every day that Theresa May effectively faffs around, the closer we are to a no-deal Brexit. And, you know, she's pushed back on the idea that we're going to get a second referendum. I still think that's a small possibility, although I don't personally like the idea. You're basically telling the public that they made the wrong decision on the first attempt. You know, we'll give them another chance to get it right. And if a second referendum passes to the extent where they decide to stay in the EU, I think there's going to be huge social unrest in the UK on the back of that. I don't think that's going to be a good situation. The other situation is, once the vote fails, which it will, allowing MPs to have a greater say on how this all plays out, the plan B, and then I think we start talking about a Norway-style model.
That Norway model that you mentioned, it's about as close as you can get to being part of the European Union without being an actual member. So Norway is not a member of the European Union, but it is part of the European Economic Area, which means it is part of the single European market.
Again, that's got its issues with the likes of free movement of people, which, you know, the Brexiteers are going to be anti. But, you know, there's anyone's guess on how this all plays out. We're not touching the pound at the moment. I think it's just, it could go either way in quite a volatile fashion. But as I say, every day we get closer to these so-called deadlines, the closer we are to a no-deal situation, which I think is going to be absolutely tragic for the UK going to WTO terms. That said, the will of MPs in the UK is that 80% want to see a deal, and therefore the balance of probabilities something will happen. Is it going to be a second referendum? Is it going to adopt a Norway-style deal? Or do we go to a no-deal Brexit? The path is still there to be decided, but it's a tough one to trade the pound. I'm staying well out of it. I think most of the institutional guys are as well.
Chris, the other thing that investors are looking at is the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is meeting tonight and tomorrow in the U.S. It seemed before everyone thought that it was 100% certain that the Fed was going to raise interest rates this week. But with what's going on in the markets and the story of global economic slowdown, if you will, has the likelihood of a rate hike fallen?
Yeah, I mean, we can look at the tradable interest rate markets and look at the Fed funds market, and that, yeah, that's definitely come down. But we're still looking at a 63% probability of a rate hike this week. And therefore, I think it's going to happen, in my opinion. What we're more looking forward to is just how distressed they are about the global and the US economy, how big a pause we're likely to see now. I mean, the markets are now pricing in just 18 basis points of tightening next year, so less than one rate hike. So we will see the Federal Reserve coming closer to the market. We'll see probably a downgrade to their dot plot projection. We only need one Fed member to change there, and yeah, we should see that coming down to two. But I think the markets are going to key off the level of distress and the level of concern that's going to be coming through in their voice. I think it's pretty much a given that they're going to go into a pausing cycle now. The question is, how concerned are they about the tightening of financial conditions, the liquidity going through? And of course, there's going to be a lot of questions asked about where they see the neutral rate given the tightening of financial conditions there.
As you mentioned, you're looking for the rate hike this week, but apparently about one third of observers are not. If they end up being correct, how do you think the market would react if the Fed does not raise rates?
It comes down to what they're saying about the outlook for rates, but on the sheer face of it, if they decide to leave the fund rates unchanged, then yeah, absolutely, you'd likely to see the US dollar sell off fairly sharply, perhaps, you know, dollar index down about 1-1.5%. Dollar yen would probably trade convincingly into, say, 111.5 or so, drop 100 pips on the, off the bat. Dollar CNH would collapse. But then I think the equity market reaction might be a little bit less assured. I mean, naturally, if they leave rates unchanged, then you'd expect to see the equity market, the S&P and the NASDAQ doing pretty well, and there should be reverberations around Asia. That said, if they leave rates unchanged because they're genuinely concerned about the outlook of tighter liquidity and various factors, then that could send negative ramifications that if the Fed are concerned, perhaps we should be as well.
Chris, if we look at the foreign currency markets, we've seen the dollar soften over the past day, and some investors, it seems, are shifting into safe havens like gold, like Japanese yen, even the Swiss franc. What is your take on the greenback right now?
Well, I mean, it's just hovering around multi-year highs at the moment, so it's a tough one. But I do sit in this consensus camp for my sins that the dollar is going to underperform in 2019. It's expensive if you're looking at a real effective exchange rate, purchasing power parity. It should mean revert. We probably think about 5-6% in 2019. So I sit in the camp that the dollar probably will underperform in 2019. But there's not really many currencies in G10 that look pretty attractive. And therefore, my view is that gold's going to be the best house in a bad neighborhood for 2019. We're recommending to clients to look at gold.
Gold has had a little bit of a rally lately, trading just a bit below $1,250 an ounce. Interesting to hear that you think that will be good for 2019 and that the US dollar will be softer. Do you think that soft dollar will be good for Asian markets?
It does worry me a little bit that the consensus trade going into 2019 is we are going to get a softer dollar, but at the same time, emerging markets are probably a good place to be as well. And consensus trades, yeah, generally don't play out that well. But there's a rationale then. The US dollar is such an important variable for asset allocation for 2019, that if we do see that situation, and if we do go into a situation where the Fed do give indications that perhaps they're going to leave their balance sheet unchanged going into the second half, then emerging markets, especially Asian emerging markets, should do quite well in 2019. And that's probably the rationale why everyone thinks it's a consensus trade.
What about U.S. markets? U.S. equities are definitely in decline. More than half of the S&P 500 constituents are actually in bear market territory, all three indices at their lowest levels in a year. Where do you think U.S. stocks are headed?
We're still in the very much a cautious stage there. You know, the short interest in US equities is still very low there, and we're not going to get that short covering rally. And I just don't sit in the camp that a Fed giving an indication that they're going on a pause is that circuit breaker there. I think we need to see something around liquidity. Liquidity is being sucked out of markets, and that's the oxygen of markets. And if that's the case, no one's buying the market at the moment. They're falling under their own weight. And what's going to change that? I don't think it's going to come from the Fed with rates. I think it has to come from the liquidity aspect, which is their balance sheet. And I think we need to see more from the ECB. I think they're going to need to, at some stage to think about how they can add liquidity to markets again. At the moment, we're still very cautious on this market. We're going to need to see global economics turn around. And I think that's the issue. Markets are worried about the global economy. It's not even about the US-Sino relations. It's about Europe, China, the US. There's a synchronized global slowdown there. And I think we probably need to see signs that that softening patch has abated. And perhaps as we go into the new year, perhaps better economics are due as well. And I think, again, that could be a circuit breaker.
So given that pretty serious outlook for the year ahead and the lack of liquidity that you mentioned, what would you recommend that investors do for 2019?
Gold's a pretty good place to be. We like owning duration in the fixed income market. So we're looking at long-end bonds. I think there's a place for US treasuries in 10 to 30 year bucket there. I think if you have the ability, US Treasury inflation protected securities, which benefit from lower inflation expectations, is a good place. But I think you still want to be long in the equity market, those high quality names. If you still believe that there could be a good run in 2019, and I don't think it's going to be all doom and gloom, there's going to be pockets to be in. But if you want to be in the equity market, you've got to look at quality. That's going to be the best performer in my mind. So those companies that are generating genuine returns on equities, that have a really quality balance sheet, they're the places you want to be. You can think of in the US names like Alphabet, Google, for example, you know, spring to mind there. I think if you're looking at those factors, you've got to be in quality over the other factors.
All right, great advice. Thank you so much, Chris. We've been speaking with Chris Weston. He's the head of research at Pepperstone.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.